Okay, this is board time, Wednesday, 18 June.
Okay, commissioners, we're kind of changing up a little bit here. The state auditor, in a recent review of the county, discovered that we were not keeping written minutes of our board time.
I noticed these look really good.
Even though we've got verbatim recordings here on this digital device, Mark Gassaway and I, we agreed that we would produce minutes, and it also serves the board's purposes because it memorializes guidance and decisions made by the board during this session. So you all got a copy of that. I don't know whether you read them, but
I did.
If the board approves those minutes, I've got a copy here.
I didn't check the assignments, but I assume they're accurate. So
I'm surprised that the state didn't accept our recording. I can see the advantage of the written for us.
I was surprised as well, and they're somewhat inflexible at times.
We have had some discussions, more than one, with the state auditor regarding this, and the problem is minutes is not, there are two separate sections of the state law that refer to what has to happen when you have a public meeting, and so the discussion about them being open and public is in 4230, and in another section, another chapter that only has one section, is this antiquated reference to minutes. And there's no cases, there's no anything's describing it, and the state AG, and it's not entirely clear how it applies, but the state AG has said you've got to comply with both, and that if you want to take verbatim minutes or you want to take verbatim notes, that's up to you, but that the minutes are a minimum. The problem is it was written at a time long before there were tape recorders, and it never reconciled or took into consideration the current practices of the day, and it really needs to be changed. But for the moment, I think the auditor said the faster path and the easier one. Besides, it's a good summary. It lets the public know in a real short two- or three-page document exactly what happened without having to listen to an entire tape.
And these will go on the grid along with the audio.
We vote to approve them each week?
Yeah.
Yeah, we post the draft ahead of time.
Well, you know the amount of detail you have in those is somewhat up to you. I mean, it doesn't – these do not have to be – lengthy documents. They're intended to be just that, minutes, and they're very short summaries of what occurs in a particular event that or a matter that's considered by the board. But I assume the clerk is taking the minutes or making notes that become the minutes.
Yes. What's happening is we have one person doing the minutes as of now forward, and Tina she went back to January, and she's preparing minutes for the previous ones.
She's writing them all out.
Yeah, so they play the tape.
I know they were kind of summarized, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
sometimes, you know, when you transpose something, it becomes costly. There's people that you actually hire to do that. We talked about that with a couple of the other committees.
Right. We're doing that with the existing staff, though.
That's good.
Mr. Chairman, when I was on the Transportation Commission, they had to keep handwritten minutes, and they had to read the minutes prior to everything else, I mean, in its entirety, and then ask the board members if there was anybody who had any corrections to those minutes that were being read. And that included any of the general public that was sitting out there that you might have written something in there that was not right, and you had to allow them the opportunity to have their whatever they felt that was not right, even though they recorded on it. And they also had to write at that same time that they made a copy. If the person wanted to copy the minutes, they'd make a copy of the minutes right there and hand it to the person. So when they went out the door, they were fully informed, fully satisfied.
I'm pleased that we have a good, clear, written record here. The format and the content here. It's not overly wordy. It basically it summarizes what's important and list that very specifically, which is great and a good supplement to the audio. And I'm assuming that we'll publish these on the grid just along with the audio each time.
Exactly. So at the board,
my question is, do we have to approve these minutes every board time? Or do we just review them and ask if there's any questions?
No, I think we need to approve them.
Yeah, that's part of the minutes process, right?
Mm-hmm. They take effect when you approve them.
Yeah. So I would assume that...
Because you always thought the board meeting was more
informal. It is, but I think that's probably illegal. The minutes have to be approved just simply by nature, right?
Robert's rules of order.
What's that?
Robert's rules of order.
Yeah. So because we post the audio tape this basically this right away, which is really nice, the timeliness, as soon as the minutes get prepared, rather than have them wait till the next week, I would think go ahead and put it on the grid also as draft. And then if we modify it, then we'll update it.
We'll replace the draft with the approved version.
Yeah. Great. I'm good.
So
I would make a motion that we approve the minutes as distributed today.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. If you pass that around and sign those, that'd be great. I know it seems a little formal, but...
It was all the fun.
Accountability. I like it.
Well, once we do this, we can have a fun begin.
Open government. Transparency.
Okay, second item on the agenda, and that's why Chris Horn and Nikki Costa from the Medical Examiner's Office are here to talk about kind of a neat thing, electronic access to medical records by the medical examiner as it relates to Peace Health. So I will turn it over to Chris and Nikki, and they can walk through in detail.
Currently, and for some time in the past, Southwest Washington Medical Center, we'll go back to, for those that remember it as St. Joe's, used to allow the medical examiner access to medical records for the purposes of doing death investigations to assist them in making their cause of death determinations. What has happened is, with a merger with Peace Health, I think Peace Health has been concerned that they're not sure how many people have authority to get access, so they've modified their agreement. They currently allow us to have electronic access to the records, whereas Legacy requires a specific request. We have to get a paper copy. It takes longer. It's just a lot more work. But Peace Health has been pretty willing to work with the county, and they're willing to allow that to continue, but they want the county to sign an agreement saying that we agree to follow the rules, that we're going to keep this confidential, that we're not going to give it out to anybody else except as required by law. And there's some number, but we've reviewed these in some detail, and we think they're a fair requirement, and there's not really an alternative. You either sign it or you don't get access without going through a lot more hoops. And so for a lot of practical and some legal reasons, we would recommend the board approve this signature. Now, there's a couple of ways we can do it. It will probably be easier for Peace Health to see rather than we're giving all of Clark County access to the records. I'd like to just put down the business name as the Clark County through its medical examiner's office. And if the board wants to vote to delegate the doctor be allowed to sign on behalf of the county for this limited purpose, then that would make sense, and it'll be easier for somebody reviewing this to follow it. So that would be my proposal, and I'm glad to answer any questions you might have.
So that take a motion to do that?
Yeah, if you would.
I kind of thought the HIPAA law went away when the guy died. I've seen things in the past that gave me the impression that as the guy died, you learn more about it.
I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead.
So there's a specific RCW, 7002050, and it's Section 2D that requires medical practitioners to provide records to the medical examiner for the purpose of death investigation. But it doesn't mean, but then there's another law that requires us to maintain the confidentiality of any of our records as a part of the autopsy. So, and that's 6850105. So we're still bound by it, but we kind of slipped through that HIPAA.
Well, I can see what the need for the a medical examiner, but I've just seen other things that kind of exposed bad guys. We all thought they were good, and we found out they were bad all that time.
Yeah, Washington's more locked down, but like Florida, I think all of their records are totally public for autopsies and that.
Well, let me ask you a question. You, the first RCW that you quoted there,
yes,
would that require Legacy to comply with the same thing that Peace Health is complying with,
so the
and not have their own set of records?
So we. we make an individual request, so we're not gaining access to everything that Peace Health has. We say we're investigating the death of this individual, and then they kind of put it up in an electronic queue for us to access here. Legacy, we have not been successful in weaving through their process. They have a much stricter threshold, and to be frank, we are really busy with other stuff, and so the time that it's going to take to get through their process, it just keeps kind of getting set back on the pile. And most of our caseload, the decedents come out of Peace Health Southwest, so it's a lower volume, I guess, of our caseload. So I hope to someday get electronic access to Legacy's record system, but it just hasn't kind of made it into the today pile of
things. You quoted the RCW to them?
Yes, so it requires them to produce a copy, which they will do on paper.
But it takes longer, and it's more cumbersome.
We have to wait for it in the mail, or I have to send a staff member to the hospital, or we have to wait, if by chance the person died at the hospital, then we try to coordinate the pickup. So it requires more legwork, where Peace Health Southwest has been really a good partner in that we hit a button, send them our request, and then they put it up into the physicians portal for us to access.
Make a motion we go along with the recommendation from the attorney.
To include delegating the signature authority down to Dr. Wickham.
Yes. Good. As stated, I second it.
Good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, you. Gentlemen.
Okay.
You bring me back the tough one.
There's plenty of time for those.
Yeah, the 8th is going to be tough enough.
It could have been worse. It could have been the 1st.
Okay,
well, I should read this a little more closely if I known I was going to be presenting it. But the bottom line is the PDX the PDX community advisory community.
We keep you on your toes, man.
You are. As you know, Kelly Seldes, our former economic development director, used to serve on this. And so I think our position is they're asking us to appoint somebody back to the advisory committee, and that person would likely most be well-suited to be Jeff Swanson, our new economic development director. If you have questions specific to what this committee does, I knew you would. I wish Jeff was here, because I think he's more familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I didn't prepare to kind of run through.
Well, I've seen it pop up from time to time. I've never seen anything from it.
It says it's an ongoing mechanism for oversight and input on significant planning and development efforts in and around PDX. So this is another regional stakeholder that involves regional projects, a way for us to know what's going on across the river.
Yep.
And I don't think there's dues, but that could be wrong there.
Didn't say anything about dues. Says that Alan Hargrave from Camas/Washougal is the voting member, and whoever the staff member is in Clark County is a non-voting member, just simply serving as advisory only.
Right. Yeah, and Chad Aiken, the community development director from the City of Vancouver, attends.
Okay, so that sounds good to me. Shall
we have anything like that over here that they would come over here and participate? We don't have anything like that, do we? We don't have an advisory community advisory committee over here that they attend, do we?
I do think, Tom, every time a plane takes off from Portland International Airport, that committee gets a telephone call or an email along the river there, and they take up the situation with the noise. I mean, the Columbia has printed articles over that over years. In fact, wanting to change the direction of the runways over there because of the noise level coming over through Vancouver. So I think Vancouver is involved in it quite a bit. And they probably pick Camas because the flight pattern probably affects it more up there than it does down here.
And also coordination with our airport.
Right, right.
You didn't notice the plane from
there? We did. I'll second it.
Okay, so it would be... We make a motion here to designate Jeff Swanson as our staff member.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I think what we can do is ask Jeff to evaluate the efficacy of this. Yeah. Is it worth being a part of it?
Is it worth your time? Or?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Well, thank you for approving that. The next one is a carryover. This is a National Association of Counties. And wasn't Anna doing some work on it?
Anna was going to see if Commissioner Madore's schedule would allow him to go.
Actually, I got an update on that.
Okay.
I checked, and we're on family vacation. But the idea is we already, both NACO and WASAC, the national and the state organization of counties, were at the last WASAC meeting that I went to in Lake Chelan, or at Chelan, Washington, just, 2 months ago or so now. And it would be good for WASAC to represent Clark County at the NACO to have one of their members, because they're already tuned in the process. They kind of cross-pollinate each other. And I made several good relationships while I was there. And there's a process to designate that. Our county designates the other county and the other elected commissioner from that county, and then they agree, as long as they're a member, and then they can, if they're going to go anyway, then it basically says that they'll cover the bases for us.
And we give them our votes.
It would work is we would pay to register our county at the conference, and we can delegate our 15 votes to either WASAC or another county or county commissioner. So do you want to do that? And do you want, if so, do you want me to communicate with, like, Eric Johnson and designate it to WASAC or another county?
I'll talk with it. I've got several contacts up there. I already left a message for one of them. He's supposed to call me back.
Okay.
So, balls in my court to get her done.
But you'll contact a representative, represent us from WASAC.
Yep, and I'll submit that thing to you.
That works for me.
Axel, would you repeat what you said about paying the registration and the rest of that for one of these commissioners is going to represent?
Well, we have to pay their way? I thought we...
No.
Well, the way it works is that in order for your county's votes to count at the national conference, you need to have at least one person or your county registered, so you have to pay the registration fee. And based on your county's size is how many votes you get. And so, you know, if you do the quick calculation, it's about 15 votes for us based on our population. And so if we register, we can then designate our 15 votes to our state delegation or another county.
So that, I understand, it comes with our membership, that one person. We get membership and one representative, one vote. According,
we already have paid our dues. We're a member of NACO, but we have to register for the conference.
So we still have to pay extra for that?
Do we know what that registration fee is?
I think it's like $450.
Okay, so basically it's a whole lot less money than sending somebody to Louisiana for multiple days.
Well, you'd have airfare, you'd have lodging, you'd have per diem.
The votes will go towards this next year's NACO national offices, and it will go towards the NACO national slate of legislation.
It's an important one. Okay.
So, do we need a motion to approve that?
No, he's going to come back and see if a representative will accept it. How soon do we have to let him know?
Actually, they wanted it by June 13. Anna already called, and they're fine. You can actually register at the site in July, so we're okay. But well, as soon as I get the call back, I'll pass it on to you.
All right.
Okay, Commissioner reports. Got a work session request for the...
Well, you got your turn. You're not commissioner report.
But you always make me go last, so I thought I'd sneak in.
I'll give you the hammer. Commissioner Barnes, do you have anything?
The only thing I can say is that I enjoyed the Sunday afternoon with the young people at Skyview, the youth commission. Folks did a great job. The kid that was in charge of it was from Union High School. He got a full ride to Harvard University for economics. He's got a twin brother.
His folks work here.
Right.
It's pretty
spectacular.
Yeah. What's the last name?
Employees here.
Oh, is that
one of them?
Yeah.
What's the last name?
Rosie.
Zhao. Yeah, Joe and Rosie.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the last name?
Zhao. H S.
A pretty amazing thing for a kid to get accepted to Harvard.
And get a full ride. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Both the kids are extremely sharp. I mean, both of them are smart.
They take after their parents.
Oh, they conducted the whole thing out there for 2 hours. So it just
glad you're able to go to that.
And,
well, Brad, we have another employee that got a free ride too. Employee's child. That was Senator Benz.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
To Harvard?
It was he had several schools, but one was the military school.
Oh, West Point?
And one was West Point. And
he had he had five scholarships offered to him.
Wow, awesome.
So kids smarter.
Kids a little bit better than me. I didn't have any.
We want all our kids to be better than us, right?
The other quick comment I make is that I have lined up a meeting to go up to Livingston on Friday the 27th.
That's great.
I met with the people from the gravel company. I met with people from DNR. I will be meeting with some of the folks that are living up there, and I've also requested a meeting with the chair of the Planning Commission so I can get the same view that you two have, why they made their decision the way they did, so I can better understand
when we
get ready to make a decision. So
when you go out there, what I noticed is that the roads have been, they're in great shape. Every truckload or every ton, I forget how it's metered out, from that mine pays a certain amount into our road fund. And our road, our public works is doing a good job keeping those roads looking like new. Yeah. However, what's that?
I thought that road was new.
Well, actually, I'm being conservative in my description of it. But still, those are big trucks, and they carry, they're the kind that have the big bed on one and the long extension and another trailer with a big bed on that. And you can see wherever there's a curve in the road, you'll see their tracks up into the bank and on the shoulder, and they got big heavy loads going up and down there.
It's a straight road.
Mountain road, steep and curvy. Yeah. And there are sections that are straight. And you'll see real clear which ones, when the trucks kind of go, the trailer kind of takes the shortcut around the corner. And, a lot of weight going down there. And I would not want to be in front of one of those trucks as it comes downhill.
Let me tell you a clue.
Yeah.
They weigh less than a fire truck. Fire trucks are illegally overloaded. And more axles you have, you carry the same basic weight. You have less weight per axle, and you have more braking ability with the double trailer.
The other question,
and you're being a truck driver, you know all
right,
that stuff.
I just wild guess.
You had truck driving company.
The other question I would ask is if somebody has some records from the Evergreen School District or Camas School District that shows how many, if there's been any complaints by the bus drivers or anything that has to do with a near miss or anything, not only between that, but the log trucks, because I understand there's a lot of DNR selling timber off there. So
I don't know how. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe you can help to find the phone number and then contact people for Mr.
But
Barnes.
I just want to make we got all bases covered. So
yeah, good point.
Okay.
So you need contact info for the school district?
If somebody can furnish you something from the Evergreen or Camas School District showing. If there is
whichever buses run on that hill.
Yeah, a record of whatever's taking place with that. So
I've got that directly in my office.
To my knowledge, there's only one accident. And that was a guy that never been there before. And they think he had mechanical failure.
The one that didn't make the turn and ended up dying.
When your brakes go out, you don't wait for the turn. you leave it then.
You put the truck into the woods, you don't have brakes. You go off the road and stop that vehicle.
Well, somebody said
you don't want to pick up one more mile per hour speed.
The house that was right straight across.
Well, the house is just offset a little bit.
Offset a little bit.
But there's several trees.
I haven't
seen several trees there. Now, if I was going to build there, I would go off to the side.
I got a copy of the police report of that accident, if you're interested.
Or if there's any sheriff's report.
That's what I got a copy of. I'll see if I can dig it up and get it to you.
Okay. Axel.
I don't have too much, but to follow up on Commissioner Barnes mentioned in the Youth Commission, though, they do have their final meeting tomorrow night, so I'm going to go to that. It's kind of a celebratory thing to close out the year. You and I, Commissioner Melke, I checked your calendar. I talked to Elizabeth next week. I had Linnea schedule us to go over there and do a tour. So we're going to...
I hope you didn't call him first.
Well, I had to let him know.
Yeah, let him tidy up first.
Well, no, I just said...
If you do that, you might as well not go.
Well...
Jeez, Axel.
In my defense... I think it's appropriate to make sure that all. I wanted to go at a time when the programs are, when it's hard to get that house all the programs at the same time because they have some have night programs, some are day. But I wanted to ask Elizabeth, when's a time when Commissioner Melke could see a majority or a maximum of the programs in operation, so you can see all the different layers to it, because it's not just, you know, one thing there. There's, you know, I want you to see the different need for the office space. Okay. Well, we can jog across the street right now, I guess.
That's an awkward silence.
Anything else, Axel?
No.
Good. Holly?
I'm good.
You're good? I happen to have a couple.
Okay. He had one more.
I got one quick one. What is the responsibility of the commissioners when the Clark County Fair starts? What is the commissioner
expect to pancakes.
Do? Attend every day out there?
Nothing official.
You've got to dress up. You've got to make speeches.
Nothing official. The reason we asked your shirt size.
I thought you were going to ask my neck size.
No. We'll give you a fair shirt, a nice little polo shirt that says Clark County Fair on it.
Okay.
Typically, Commissioner Melke is the lead commissioner for the fair, informally. I know Mark Bolt, when he was here, he was like, he loved that fair more than anything. He would volunteer for one of the nonprofits, and he'd cook beef brisket and that sort of thing.
I've eaten several times off of him.
But, but you know, we do appreciate Commissioner's support of the fair, and we like to get you out there and walk you around, link you up with John Morrison, the fair manager, and have him walk you around and buy you lunch or whatever.
We used to be invited to the cheesecake.
Test. Sometimes you might be invited to judge something.
strawberry shortcake.
There's a technique to that by the time you get
corn.
Done.
John Morrison and his team out there are amazing. They're just amazing. So I really encourage you to link up with them and have them show you around, introduce you to the staff. They're incredible.
Anytime.
Well, I've never missed the fair, I think, in all my life.
Well, you go to the fair, you go to have fun. Don't go talk to John.
Yeah, and tomorrow night they actually have their volunteer recognition dinner out there, because the fair relies heavily on volunteers. They have thousands of them that volunteer.
I'll be there. Come on out.
If you go out there and sit on those old wooden bleachers that they have.
No, we'll do the volunteer recognition.
Oh, okay.
We get to sit in good chairs.
All right.
And all the wooden bleachers they had out there
for years, we paid for that, the lumber and the steel.
Really?
That Hudson's Bay High School shop class built all the framework and put them on there and hauled them out the fair, but nobody had anything to sit on. The horse arena out there, we put up all the lights, furnished all the lights and all the electricity.
Great.
Everything for that horse arena out there, free to the fairground.
That's fabulous.
Commissioner Barnes,
you got a permit for that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know if you were officially invited. The invitation went out before you joined the commission, but it's at 5:30 tomorrow at the event center in the big exhibition hall. Yeah. If you feel like coming.
And that's a nice event too. Terrible acoustics, but a really nice event.
It's a lot smaller.
When they do singing and speaking and that big...
It's 5:30, you say?
5:30 to 7.
And this year, you want to make sure that we go to the Dairy Woman's Shake place, and that was always the longest line.
Yep.
This year, they're supposed to have two lines, right? They modified it so that they can get twice as many.
They talked about that. I don't know whether they've actually done it.
I'm curious if they did it, because we gave them the green light to do it.
I haven't made it.
I'll have an answer shortly.
I haven't made it there with my pre-shake thing for 2 years.
Pre-shake thing? I never heard about that part.
Oh, I'm not going to say more.
There's also ball caps, aren't there?
They what?
Shirt and ball and caps.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But the ball cap is one size fits all, so we didn't have to ask the size for that.
When is the fair?
It's the first Tuesday, it begins the first Friday in August, so let me go to my calendar. I should
August
have that date memorized.
First Friday in August. Okay.
First Friday in August, so that would be.
And that's the pancake breakfast as well.
Yeah, it looks like first Friday in August is the first.
Oh.
So, yeah, Fred Meyer sponsors the free pancake breakfast in the morning, and we get like 10 or 11,000 people.
That's just at what, 8 o'clock?
It's really funny.
Yeah, they line up at 6.
Fred Meyer's was going to not do it, and popular demand, they decided to go back and do it again.
Yeah, so. Yeah, they get in free entry into the fair, free breakfast.
On the very first day.
On the very first day.
And the
day.
Line opens free. At?
We open the gates at 6, but they start serving at 8.
Oh, 8 o'clock, okay.
You remember you were there. You walked back and forth up and down the line campaigning.
I love meeting the people.
Yeah, we tried to tell him that was against the rules, but he didn't.
He was holding up the line.
Well, that day, I'm chairman of the Labor Roundtable, so it's a little hard for me to be two places at the same time.
Right. You can go have breakfast there and go back out and just.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Ed?
I actually buy my breakfast at the Lions Club booth.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because the breakfast is better.
The line moves pretty fast.
They really move fast.
My wife, the Sweet Adelines, used to wash off all the tables, if you remember, to sing with people in the main area. I washed off more tables than you could ever shake a stick out there to help her out.
I wondered who that was shaking that stick out there.
Yeah.
My turn.
Yeah.
Axel, you're working on reports from the cities in regards to their regulations on fireworks.
Yes.
You have a request out for them. Okay.
You're going to make a grid that shows all the jurisdictions,
there will be a grid
the days and the times for those.
I thought one time we talked
sales,
in the city of Bandon, but that's not right. I thought the city of Bandon.
What, Vancouver?
Yeah.
No, they've restricted the firing of fireworks to the 4th of July only.
Well, I thought we did that already, too, but
no.
But I think they still have 3 or 4 days of sale.
Yeah,
they are going down to where, so if you read the question for the advisory vote that was proposed, it was the 3 days of sale, 1 day of discharge. That's where Vancouver is headed, correct? This year. And so that's where they are. The rest of the cities are all doing something a little different.
I got an informal answer from Battleground that they're not changing whatever they have. I don't know what they have.
Okay.
And the center and whatnot. So,
anyway, we'll get a good grid.
We'll get that information, and we'll probably move forward. Even though we're early, we're late, doing anything for this year, but we could go ahead and get information
absolutely.
We need and address it if we're going to do anything. Youth House and Dolly Building.
Yeah, as discussed. So we can go over, take a look at the operation, and you can make the call on what you think as far as their space needs.
Yeah. And then are we going to get a second wave of excess property?
Yes. Yes, okay. So I'll check with Larry Free to see how I'll get him to check in with the departments to assess their readiness for another work session.
And then
and I'll report back to you.
We have ready, but we hadn't come back for us to review the carry permit application for employees.
Yes, I spoke with Emily downstairs about that this morning because I kind of had a guess that it would come up. Mark Wilson drafted up sort of an exception to the policy of a form with different, checks and balances in it, things that you would have to be required to do or certify. That document, we tried to finalize it. We were pretty close to bringing it here. It's down with the PA's office now. I think it'll be ready for next Wednesday. When I talked to Emily today, what she's doing is
this is something potentially that's probably going to have to be negotiated or bargained with our guilds and unions. And so what she's done is found some language from a current contract that does have an exception for caring, and she's putting some of that language and incorporating in there so that those things can be okay. as in sync as possible for if we have to take that step.
Right. I don't want someone to give it to us thinking it's a finished form. I'd like to have it come to us as a draft mm-hmm. so that we have input in it.
Yeah. Oh, sure, but we're trying to get it as perfect in draft form as we can.
And yeah. she said she when I was down there,
that way we
she
cut us apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said next Wednesday.
And once we do get all the way through that process and adopt something, we want to make sure that we update the information, especially our online education. What's the name of that program called where we all do our online courses?
Oh, GenSuite.
GenSuite. We want to make sure that whatever is there doesn't misinform the employees. They can that nobody can carry any time, but there is a process
okay.
to allow them to responsibly be approved.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have that next week, a draft.
Next week, yeah.
Okay.
Wednesday.
Salary setting.
Are you?
Well, we haven't addressed salary setting, and we need to go back and review that. We review those before elections. And if you go back and look at it, I had a. Did I have it with me? Maybe over here if I had it.
Did you have something on the previous topic?
Well, yeah. Well, I was going to ask Mark if you remember the last meeting we had the discussion over the hiring of employees or the interviewing process and that.
You mean Mark, for the position that's open now?
Right. And Mark sent out a email to us saying that.
Yeah, we have two of them. We have two of them coming up, and I'll talk about that when we get there.
It's coming.
So, I thought I had it with me, but we do salary review because we don't use the salary commission, and we have to do that before elections.
Are you talking about commissioners?
I
see. Okay.
And so we have to look at those and see where we are and what we're going to do, and because I think. The third position right now is not set. So it does it 4 years that we do them 4 years at a time.
Right.
And because we have different times in which we're elected, we
correct.
Try to line those up to where the same
parity or equity?
Equity as possible.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've got an example. It must be on my desk because I thought I had it here.
So the issue then, Commissioner, is what salary will the newly elected commissioner have
yes.
when they take office?
Yes, and it's compared with ours.
Uh-huh.
You know that they're the same.
Okay,
and it's important.
Can't really look at Commissioner Medora's because he took that 20% off the top.
Well, I gave back all my raises since I was elected. Okay, that's not it. Yeah, here it is. It's right here. This is an example. This goes back to 2004, but it gives you an example. And I'm sure that's probably on your computer somewhere because Bill always brought that in to us.
Citizens Committee. What did...
So I had a bunch of... But we haven't, that's an old one, but we have an updated one. And I'm going through my stuff and I come across that and I thought, we haven't done that yet. We've got to get done.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I can help you on that, Mark. I think it's like a combination between elections and the PA's office.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be set before the election is certified if it's going to change. So
the compensation for the newly elected, you mean?
So if we do nothing, then it just stays the same.
Correct.
It's not established.
Yeah, there might be a catch there. You may have to do something, or if it can just.
You mean if the voters don't do something?
We'll figure it out.
No, but we decided.
Yeah. I think you have to
vote for the new.
The person, but we decide the salary.
Salary, but if they go along with what they're looking at.
Oh, the freeholders?
The charter. Right.
Well, I think they gave us back our salaries.
No, it dropped to 53.
They cut it in half and made it into a part-time paid position.
Right. No, I heard last week they
but
didn't.
But you keep your salaries for your current term.
Yeah. Yeah, you and Commissioner Madore keep the salary you have until the end of your term.
Oh, so,
yeah. So there's like a transition to the lower salary, but the one elected in November starts at 53.
It is at 53 still.
Yep. Plus the benefit package.
That sucks.
Well, that's interesting. We'll need to look into that. Maybe we wouldn't need to set it.
If the staff's doing all the work that we're doing now, then we've just got advisory role.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who needs elected representatives, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it steps down.
I think we better.
We'll check it out.
I don't expect it to pass. We better get it set. So, animal control and laptops.
On Monday the 30th, I've got a dozen staff members.
All over. Good for you.
Actually, that demonstration that we saw at the...
On Monday?
Yeah, at the elections office.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're going to include that software as well, aren't they?
Yeah, Commissioner Mielke is looking for an interim. We're if we contract...
I don't think we would do an interim. I mean, they're talking about doing this this year sometime. Right?
Well, we hope to have a contract in November. We haven't selected a vendor yet. That was one of three vendors. So we haven't selected the vendor here, and we haven't entered into contract negotiations and finished the complete scope of work. And so by November, we should have a contract. And it'll be an 18-month implementation. So Commissioner Mielke's concern is between now and when we flip the switch on system, he'd like something developed.
Really?
A simple,
remember the
cheap
clerk's presentation, David?
What's that?
The clerk's presentation. That's what they're doing now.
This is the replacement for first. Well, there's really two things going on. One is that the public health, that new...
I'm sorry, that's right. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking
the
of.
The informatics. With their,
the health department, yeah.
Yeah, the environmental health.
But on Monday, Mark and I saw the at least one of the providers for the Tidemark replacement software, and Paul Scarpelli was there as well. And that is, I was very impressed. I had no reservations with that particular vendor.
It costs a few million.
It will.
It's amazing. It's good.
But it's immensely powerful.
I'm talking about current today, something
well,
we could do today.
Well, the thing is, well, that unless it's off-the-shelf software that they could implement, there's
it's
the development.
Existing software. They're using existing software. Remember, they did the presentation. He says, when we go back, we don't re-enter it. And that's the same thing that the assessor does. They enter it in the field, and they don't have to come back and re-enter it.
You mean what public health is doing?
Assessor
yeah, now
does
so
it
the
too.
Question is, with what
assessor
would develop
does
that?
It and the health department does it
yeah.
today, and they go out there and they enter it in their laptop.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's in the system here.
Yeah. And that's a different system, different database, different function, and it would, in order to have this apply for critters for this department, it would be new software. Assuming that would behave and run on the same kind of platform. So there is a development that would be going along with that. There was an investment in time, unless there's something off the shelf or something simple. I'd like simple, but it would be interesting to see if they could come up with something that would be practical enough, low cost enough, simple enough to adapt that would cover between now and the time we replace this
software. I believe we do, because we have two departments doing it.
Sounds good.
I invited Linda Lotto to come as well, so that Paul can hear from both departments, not just health.
Good. You're all over. That's good. One of the things that was presented to us during the the fast track for the health
early adopter,
and one of the things that bothered me, and I thought it should be brought back to us for consideration, and that's the methadone fees, the meth fees that we have today under the early adopter. We get to keep that, and I thought that maybe we should be looking at programs as policymakers as to whether or not we continue that fee or whether or not we want to expand other directions with the fees that we collect.
I believe, Commissioner, as we approach implementation, that staff will formulate recommendations, okay, and we'll have work sessions to determine which of these, which programs do you want to continue, which don't you, do you want to create new?
I think that's kind of what they gave us. They had probably 10.
They had two lists.
Yeah.
And those were just options.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're way out, but when the time comes, certainly you'll make the policy decisions.
Okay. And that's, that's what I wanted to make sure, because I'm not sure if I get concerned as to trying to provide everything for everybody, and the increase in that fee was meant for specific. But one of those things that they had in those lists was like preventive.
Yeah.
Preventive. So,
yeah. Okay. Cheaper to prevent.
And did you, related to that, I want to make sure you guys got the word as well, that Cowlitz County is deciding to go with another county, no longer to be with Clark County.
Yes.
And Skamania County voted to join with us. And Klickitat, the next county east, is, last I heard, hadn't made a decision yet.
Right here.
So we would be at least two, Skamania and Clark, and maybe three, if you include, if Klickitat decides to join us with the fully integrated health, behavioral health, or physical health, behavioral health, and chemical dependency for the early adoption.
So okay. County Commissioner talked to me this afternoon.
Chris Brown?
Yeah. Very upset with the whole process and that, and thinks that Clark County sold him out.
Well, actually...
with the Cowlitz County you talked to? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't talk to Cowlitz County.
Chris Brong is a good guy,
right,
and their county voted to join with us in the early adoption. And we had already had our work session and made and confirmed that Chris Horn's counsel.
Recommendation.
And the recommendation.
That's what
forward.
I told him.
Yeah.
And he was very upset. He doesn't think we...
He'll get over it.
Right.
We'll move forward with a new organization that only runs to the middle of, to the end of next year anyway.
Yeah.
Before it runs out.
That's all I have. Okay, you get the anchor.
I'm the caboose. I love it.
I know it's anchor. Sounds better.
That's the last.
Okay, we have one work session request, and that's for the 2015-2020. A new decade. Whew, 2020. Yikes. Transportation Improvement Program.
Oh, that sounds good.
And they'd like to do it on the 30th of July.
Sounds good.
And this is a time-sensitive thing because we have to have this passed in conjunction with the budget in December.
So this is the thing that we take to the RTC.
This lays out our priorities.
Well, this the Public Works follows this. It puts it on the list so that we...
A six-year plan, and then it's also the one-year annual construction program for 2015.
Yeah. And can you make sure that ahead of that, a couple weeks ahead of that, that Heath and I get together one-on-one, go over all that line in more detail?
Sure. So approved to schedule that?
Yes.
On the 30th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
30th is a week and a half away.
July.
July. Oh, okay. the other 30th.
Okay. We also have two vacancy requests. I won't ask for a decision today, but we can just chat about them briefly. Both of them are OAs. They provide administrative support. One is for Department of Environmental Services, Solid Waste. Funded by solid waste revenues, no general fund impact. And then the other is for public health, and that one is funded 75% from grants and 25% from departmental revenues, general fund.
I can support the one that's funded 100% in solid waste.
Okay, I'm not asking for vote today, but if you want to approve it today, that's fine, but you're entitled to take a week.
So these are both for replacing positions.
Yes.
And the one is vacant since last year,
since November.
And this one is coming up in June 18th.
Today, actually.
Today. So here's the on these, I think it's always a good idea if any one of us has one that feels like we need to do a little more homework, that we always allow that to happen. And the normal thing would be for us to be able to wait and do homework. I like to talk with other staff members, including our budget office, about each one of these in detail. In this case here, though, especially the 100% funded from solid waste is not a hit on the general fund at all. It's continuing to fill a position that's a replacement for whether it's right retiree
or a transfer.
Somebody I have no moved. Problem with that. So.
Okay, Commissioner Milky, you said you had no issues with the solid waste one?
I don't.
Okay, so I'll consider that approved.
So I want to make sure that if we expedite these.
Do you want to wait a week, or are you good?
I make a motion that we do it now.
It's not our money.
Oh, well, it's all right. But I think I'm one of these guys that thinks any time you discuss things at a board and you say you want to do it, then I think that there ought to be a motion.
Well, where's my money? I delayed as long
right.
as I could.
Well,
actually,
on the record.
I think since we've got a good minutes that looks
right.
at the action, go ahead and make that motion.
Right,
then.
Yeah.
So, in fact, since I have this specific here, I move that we accept to fill the vacancy requested by DES Solid Waste.
I would second
okay.
that.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And on this one, this is public health, and it's for a resignation to fill, and it's 75%, or actually
25.
Oh,
75% grants, bottom is...
Especially when they're grant-funded,
yeah.
you get that kind of mix. I don't have reservations on those.
Bob Stevens says no general fund impact.
Yep, and there's no general fund impact. I'm thinking that's okay with me. So I don't have a problem expediting this one.
Right.
So, all right, I move that we also move forward with the vacancy filling position for public health.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Okay. Mr. Chair, that's all I have.
Okay. And just want to make sure that if we expedite these, we still want to retain our freedom in the future to normally hold them back for a week for us to be able to
change the rule
next
time.
But I do have a question on filling vacancies. On my desk, since I've been here, there's a folder laying on my desk that has to do with the parks, reorganization of the parks.
Oh, yeah.
In that. In,
the advisory board.
Advisory
oh, yes.
Board.
I haven't got mine done yet either.
I've been looking at that very carefully. I looked at it again this morning in order to get it off my desk. That I thought when you were discussing the vacancy part, I'd bring that up. I think that the four that are coming over, my personal belief, I think we ought to approve those four that are coming over. And I picked three
mm-hmm.
additional ones
yeah.
that
they're right on.
That are marked in the book. I
you are
put
right
one,
on.
Two, three, and then I picked a substitute in case one of the three decided not to take it. So I didn't know whether I should pass it on to Mark or Patrick.
Jennifer.
Or whatever.
Jennifer in the front office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer.
Right here in the front desk. I like this to, and that sounds good to me. I like to ensure that there's a standard policy process we always follow for all advisory boards. It's a standardized way. We normally don't deviate from that unless we have a really good reason to handle an exception. And that is set up so that even if there be incumbents, that everybody, including the incumbents, provides their resumes along with everybody else, and they also get interviewed along with the other candidates, and that there's not an automatic shoe-in just simply because they happen to be there first. Otherwise, we end up having the same old people just assuming that they're there, and you don't end up ever having the opportunity for new people to come in. So in this case, did we ever get the resumes from these people, from the four incumbents?
I believe they're in the book.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The only thing is summary in the books, a summary in there mm-hmm. of each of the people that are pretty good summaries of
yeah.
of most of them.
Well, it's whatever each. If you forget that they're incumbents, they can say they're incumbents, of course. What would they provide if they were applying for the first time? And that levels the playing field. And it also has the advantage when we interview them, because they're supposed to be advising us as well as commissioners, you know, the staff, and if it allows us to be able to get to know them with an interview, they get to know us, and so that we have a we get on the same wavelength. So that's the standardized process, and this being a commission shouldn't be any different than the rest of them. So if we follow that, I'm good with it.
I don't have a problem with that, except the thing's been laying on my desk over the
last... yeah, I put in a check mark here for me to get that done, too.
17 days has been, or 18 days now has been
laying
there.
Yeah, we got to get it done.
So what it's been in the past, as a rule of thumb, we kind of favor the incumbents.
Yeah.
But it's really important. Sometimes they come back in and they share things with us that we could change policy or things.
And there is somebody on there that served on the existing board. I mean, if you read through the... So, mm-hmm. I mean, you have an opportunity to look at those two.
We do, and I keep in mind that was the Vancouver vision and the Vancouver focus is different, significantly different than Clark County, that they have the Furstenberg Center, the heavy on recreation, a lot of fee-based, membership-based.
That's not bad, though, Dave.
No, it's different.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure that we don't inherit something that's not so compatible with a fresh start that we have that's more fit for us. Now, I'm not in any way saying negative about that, but we want to make sure that we interview them, make sure that we do our diligence and follow process, follow the standardized procedure like we do with every other advisory board.
So we'll be interviewing 7. 3 new, 4 incumbents.
Who's ever on the list? I don't think I turned mine in yet. You beat me.
Now you're the caboose.
Yeah.
That's been on my mind for over a week. And well,
okay. I'll get mine done.
Okay.
Thanks. I'll get mine done. In fact, it was on my desk, but they piled some more stuff on top of it to the bottom. So I got to work down to it.
But I will make sure Jennifer gets what I've got done.
Yeah, that's good. Anything else but the good?
And policy analyst, we got input from everybody.
The what waiting for Commissioner
Bedard. Oh,
sorry, I didn't mean to write
out. Oh, you beat me two ways.
I really studied that one hard too.
Yeah, and I just want a little bit on that. Just a few comments. What I love contrasts. What this position is and what it is not. This person is not an assistant for the busiest guy around here, Axel Swanson. You're going to stay as busy as you are.
Great.
And I've been calling this person a commissioner assistant / citizen advocate, because basically helps us to do our jobs as citizen representatives, in contrast to being a part of the bureaucracy here, I see that in a favorable sense, and part of this, the staff here that's just simply part of the mechanism. Because even though we have outstanding staff here, and we do, the role of commissioners has a lot to do with frustration relief and the difficulty that citizens periodically will have trying to navigate through the processes that our staff here has to follow. And we'll hear about things, how it's stalled or how it's too expensive or it's or something, and they can appeal to us as commissioners, and then we can help find out what's wrong with the process, and then this person would help us also in that process to report to each one of us, and they would have to be able to set their priorities and so that we end up been able to share, and hopefully that person is capable enough to be able to set their priorities in a way that's
but not only the public
sensible.
I want to make sure that whoever you hire, whoever I'm going to be part of the process, uh-huh. that person is going to be compatible with the people in this in the offices at every floor, from the 6th floor to the 5th floor.
That's one of the requirements.
Whoever we appoint in there, we just cross our fingers.
I posted on my Facebook page last night. They're very much like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout.
Yeah.
Tactful, reverent, brave, clean, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And patient. And so they certainly need to be able to. That's one of their, they have to be a people person to really get along with people. And especially when it comes to, if we get a call from a citizen that's somehow asking for help because of relief, they might already be hot under the collar because they're steaming, something's not working here, and they need to be good listeners to make sure that they can find out what's wrong. Okay, let's get it on the path to correction.
Like the one that you met with for an hour and a half Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, Jack Davis?
Jack Davis and that.
Yeah.
But I also want to make sure that, like I told you folks before, I'm not into this thing of hiring people that have political aspirations or political.
I agree.
Or be a pot stirrer in here for any individuals or any group. So
I agree.
Make sure that doesn't
hopefully
happen.
This.
We're changing the way we did things over the last 10 years, I think.
Okay.
Well, I look at the event that we had. What was Monday that we had our handing out our longevity?
The service recognition.
2,460 hours, 5, years. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40
years.
Badges here. So hopefully this person who's going to come in will outlast all of us.
Yep.
And the next commissioners will be very happy that person is the right makeup and not some kind of a political person, but more of a problem solving.
Those are good questions you ask during the interviews.
Yeah.
And also that person will have to be under office staff meant to assist the commissioners.
Yeah. Well, it's very different than the pool that we have now, and we have very good staff here.
The point I'm making is that person still has to be under office staff under our administrator.
Well, there needs to be an organizational structure, of course, so to some degree, there needs to be some relationship to make sure that your authority is recognized. But we don't want to have to go through our administrator to get to commissioner helper.
Who gets?
We'll work it out.
Well, the current mode of operation in this suite here. If you have something that you want Axel to do for you, you're not inhibited in any way. You don't come
we
to me.
Hey, been.
Can I ask Axel to do this? No.
Did you hear that?
You go directly to Axel.
We have been. Don't slow us down.
And as soon as you leave, he comes and gripes to me about that. No, I'm kidding. We don't want things.
And we do. We reckon
I only have four bosses. Yeah.
We don't want things in this office to be so rigid. You know, Mark's not here. Oh, that means I can't talk to Axel because Mark's not
we're
here.
Not, that, we're not unionized yet.
So I had to go to Axel.
Well, Axel is a really good job. We all, and I appreciate, Mark, the free access that we have to Axel. Axel's always available. And
he always makes sure that I know that you've asked him to do something. And he knows what's trivial and what's not. And so if it's trivial, he won't necessarily share it with me. If it's something of more serious import, he'll tell me about it.
When do these individuals that we're going to interview, when does that get publicized?
It's already
on the website
it's already
or
open
the
and
press
closed.
Have
we've got all those
press
applicants.
And everybody else now has that available.
When's
it available to other people to look at it?
When your schedules are set and we publish your schedules, that's when the public will know we're having these interviews. But these aren't public interviews.
Well, that's I'm new kid on the block, so
we'll schedule the interviews with who you select, and we'll do that soon.
Yeah.
But these interviews won't be public. These will be an executive session, the decision will obviously be public of who you want to hire. But these will be private interviews with folks, and you'll get to eventually make a public decision about who you want to hire.
Yeah. It's been a good process.
Okay.
And back in April, actually saves the county. Because there was actually a reorganization when Kelly Sills left. We got Jeff Swanson in there. So this process saves the county like $28,000 and some dollars for the next biennium.
For each one. In fact, we replaced several directors in-house by shuffling and new job descriptions.
So I put a link on my Facebook
budget,
to that.
Our budget, a budget person, our health department, our...
Well, there's no
your position.
There's no deputy.
We're trying to figure out what you've been doing.
I'm gonna have to go see a shrink here real quick.
So far, nobody over there missed him across the hall.
I got two people doing the work over there.
Yeah. All I do is just want to make sure that everything is open and above board for everybody.
We are on the same wavelength there. And Mark,
we don't allow the public to
interview. I know Tom's been poking fun at you, but you are doing a great, great job.
Don't tell him that. Man, he's like Axel, you know, after a while your head gets like this.
Every time my mother-in-law used to give me a compliment, she would always finish it off with, "But your feet stink," because she didn't ever want you to get the big head. So don't get the big head.
Hey, honest to God, I used to work for a guy, and every payday, my godfather, and every payday, he'd come out there, and I worked in the shop, and he'd go to each mechanic, and I was just a helper back then, and he'd just chew you out. No matter what you were doing, he'd chew you out that you were doing it wrong. And that's when you knew you was getting your paycheck that day. And you just go on the next day, you know. But every payday, he felt the need to come out there and let you know that you weren't the best in the world, but you still got a paycheck. Yeah.
So I guess that's to make them grateful, right?
And that's right. You become really grateful when you get the paycheck. Yeah. Okay, guys. Thank you all.
Okay, we're adjourned.
We're adjourned.